This is Ted Kennedy. The Civil Rights Bill is moving forward again in Congress. Will Senator Al Simpson be on board this time? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, the Civil Rights Bill is back on the front burner in Congress, and President Bush is threatening to veto it again. We failed by a single vote to override his veto last year, but this time we have a better chance because the Thomas nomination is focusing new attention on some of the most important provisions in the bill, stronger remedies for sexual harassment and discrimination against women in the workplace. After the Thomas debate, the whole country, including the Senate, has new respect for the power of the sexual harassment issue. It'll be much harder for anti-civil rights senators to oppose this year's civil rights bill. Republicans like you, Al, are scrambling to convince women that in spite of your vote for Thomas, you take sexual harassment seriously. If you mean that, Al, you'll vote for the Civil Rights Act.
Ted, months before Judge Thomas ever surfaced for nomination to the Supreme Court, I pushed hard for legislation which I personally drafted to deal with the issue of sexual harassment and other employment civil rights issues. Ted, my bill would award victims of sexual harassment as much as $100,000 when they prove their claim. It calls for the employers who are found guilty to award back pay, and in some cases even reinstate the employee. Ted, would you really like to know what happened to my bill? After I introduced it, my bill was sent to your committee, where it has roosted since February. You've refused to allow hearings or to even discuss it. Ted, it's really too bad that it takes a big media circus like the Thomas nomination to finally get you Democrats to finally move on sexual harassment. Maybe at least you sure will now. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. New estimates show us that 50% of all child support payments ordered in America never get paid. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, one out of four children in this country lives in a single-parent household, so child support money is more important than ever. These kids have a tough enough problem without deadbeat dads who don't kick in their fair share. It's bad enough that more families don't stay together, but that's no reason for the kids to pay the price. To combat the problem, George Bush created the Administration for Children and Families. The agency's goal is to focus on families and children and to put teeth in programs that help track down those parents who just won't cough up. Ted, stop crying uncle, Uncle Sam that is, when there darn sure are parents out there who should be paying the bills for their own kids.
Now, that Census Bureau study is shocking evidence that enforcement of child support isn't working. Deadbeat dads are getting off scot-free without paying the support they owe. Out of 5 million American mothers with court orders for child support, a quarter don't get a single dime. Another half don't get the full support they're due. In spite of increased efforts to enforce child support in recent years, the proportion of deadbeats hasn't changed significantly since the 1970s. Part of the problem is that it costs money to track down absent fathers. Sometimes the cost of the chase is greater than the child support collected. Often, the absent father has no job and no way to pay support. I know it goes against your grain, Al, but law enforcement can't do the job alone. If you're serious about child support, do something constructive, like job training for jobless fathers. Light a candle, Al. Don't just curse the darkness. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Time Off from the Job for Working Parents. To deal with family emergencies, tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson says working mothers don't deserve time off from the job to deal with family emergencies. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, you cast another of your patented pro-business anti-worker toll the White House line votes the other day. I can't believe your heart was in it. The issue was bipartisan legislation to allow up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave a year for workers to deal with urgent family needs. I'm talking about maternity leave for the birth or adoption of a child. I'm talking about the serious illness of workers themselves or a serious illness of their spouse or child or parent. No working woman should lose her job because she needs time off to deal with family emergencies. Since the leave's unpaid, there's no significant cost to business. I know, Al, you're for time off. What you don't like is requiring employers to provide it. It'll never happen voluntarily. If you had your way, Al, you'd probably make Social Security voluntary, too.
Ted, you are dead wrong. This kind of time off is already happening voluntarily. The best companies are competing for the best employees, and they're using maternity leave and flex time to attract them. Ted, not only is your logic usually flawed, so is your family leave legislation. It gives government workers more time off than those in the private sector and places small business at a real competitive disadvantage. How is that fair? Ted, I am for time off, but I'm not for any old one-size-fits-all plan that forces workers to choose between family leave and some other kind of benefits. And Ted, if you really think Congress knows so much about running a business, why are we $4 trillion in the hole? Don't force your lifetime fantasy of marketplace economics on a company trying to keep its head above water. If they listen to you, we'll all be flat broke. You will finally do us in. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Middle East Peace Conference starts up today with the whole world watching and praying that centuries of tragic violence will end. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, we all have our differences, even you and I. But with patience, tolerance, love, and understanding, the walls which separate can be torn down. That is what we all pray will happen in the Middle East this week, that these nations who have so long been sworn enemies will find a way to live in peace as neighbors. President Bush and Secretary of State Jim Baker deserve our deep and heartfelt thanks for making the possibility of peace in the Middle East a reality. Ted, without their hard work and wise and continual prodding, these nations would not have even sat down at the same table. Just a year ago, we were poised for war. Now we have the very first real opportunity for peace. Let's both agree to give peace a chance.
Al, President Bush and Secretary Baker deserve credit for getting their Middle East peace initiative off the ground and into the conference room. That part was hard enough. Now the hardest part begins. No one knows whether the conference will succeed, and the United States has a key role in ensuring the talks don't fail. But the simple fact that Arabs are sitting down with Israel is a sign of progress and hope. Let's hope Madrid goes down in history alongside Camp David. What's harder to understand, Al, is how the administration expects peace in the region while continuing to sell weapons of war. Just since the Persian Gulf conflict, the administration has made arms sales to Arab nations worth $7 billion. Now the White House is talking about giving Saudi Arabia an offensive military capability and doubling its army. If you're serious about giving peace a chance, Al, you can't carry on arms sales as usual. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on health care reform, a hot-button issue in the Pennsylvania Senate race. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. New evidence demonstrates that health care reform is a powerful issue for the 1990s. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Republicans are getting more and more nervous about the health care issue, and with very good reason. You've decided not to take it seriously, to put it off until after the 1992 election. Now you're paying the price. It may cost you a Senate seat in 1991 and the White House in 1992. In the Senate election campaign this year in Pennsylvania, Democratic Senator Harris Wofford has struck gold on health. His call for national health insurance has put Republican candidate Dick Thornburg on the defensive. It's one hot issue, Al. People understand the need for change. They also know that only government can bring rising health costs under control and make health care a basic right for all, not just an expensive privilege for the few. As Satchel Paige might have said, Al, don't look over your shoulder. The health care issue is gaining on you.
And Ted, to also quote Yogi Berra, it's deja vu all over again. How can you possibly have the gall to say that only government can bring rising health costs under control? Ted, Congress can't even bring its own costs under control. The federal debt now stands at $4 trillion. So out of hand that in the next few years, the interest we pay on the debt will be more than we spend on defense. You Dems run the Congress. Ted, just think the money we could reallocate if we didn't have this huge mountain of debt. But what's your answer? You want to go right on and spend tens of billions more bucks without caring one whit about the consequences. Ted, we're all for health care, but the direction you would take this country is toward total bankruptcy, your life's work. Then everybody will be flat broke with no chance for sensible health care. That's true equality, Ted, but it sure won't help one poor soul. Now, this is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on making certain the aid we send to Soviet republics makes for real social change. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Senator Al Simpson. Yes, the Soviets need our aid, but our success in giving it will be determined by how well we really understand their decayed system. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in just a minute. Ted, the Soviet economy is truly in shambles as they grapple to move toward a market-oriented free enterprise system. Congress wants to help, but so far all I hear from Democrats is the same old ancient nonsense, just throw money at every problem. Ted, we have a great opportunity to turn the old Soviet threat toward peace and prosperity. Let's not blow this one. We could start by helping them revamp their entire distribution system. They do have produce, but no incentive to get the crops out of the field and delivered to their markets. As we consider the giving of aid, let's make so sure our assistance also changes their people's attitudes about the fruits of capitalism. That's one fruit we sure don't want to see left rotting in the field.
Right on, Al. No blank check for the Kremlin. We have too many needs here at home. What we should provide, though, is technical assistance to facilitate reform and their transition to free enterprise. They also need emergency food and medicine to prevent a massive humanitarian crisis this winter. No one's talking about throwing money at Moscow, Al, but we might have to throw a little bread. The real problem is not Democratic spending. It's Republicans refusing to believe the Cold War is over. Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney won't cut a single dime from his $300 billion budget for defense. We have urgent priorities here at home, Al. Cold War budgets are history. Savings from defense can pay for health care, education, tax cuts for the middle class. Yes, Al, there really is a peace dividend. If Cold War horses like you can't understand that, this country will never get back on the right track. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress and the administration are finally back together again after the long, difficult, but necessary debate on civil rights. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush deserves credit for rejecting, at long last, the advice of the right-wingers in your party who were urging the administration to play the quota card and make political hay by dividing the country over race. They got more than they bargained for, Al. The party of Lincoln couldn't stand becoming the party of David Duke. Too many Senate and House Republicans revolted. The extremists in the White House lost out when it became clear that a civil rights veto would be overridden. You pushed too hard as well against the bill's other major reform, a real remedy for women who are victims of sexual harassment and other forms of sex discrimination on the job. Your opposition became indefensible after the hearings on Anita Hill. All's well that ends well, Al, if only you relented sooner.
Ted, I wouldn't bring up Anita Hill. And I introduced civil rights legislation long before you came out with your bill this year. While you were still dragging your feet, sending up weather balloons to test the wind, my proposal dealt head-on with sexual harassment. That was way last February. I sure could have used your help. Ted, I'm tickled you've jumped on the bandwagon. Better late than never. But instead of partisan bickering, we should both admit that Congress passed the civil rights bill because our parties, Democrat and Republican alike, care deeply about equal protection under the law. Ted, let's bury the hatchet on this one and move on. David Duke ain't in my party. We might be Republicans or Democrats or members of some special interest group, but I hope that, first and foremost, we are Americans and this civil rights law is darn good for this country. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the fact that the panel looking into revamping the Supreme Court nomination process doesn't have a single Republican on it. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Senate Democrats formed up a task force to change the Supreme Court nomination process. Trouble is, they forgot to put a single Republican on it. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, after the Thomas hearings, Congress does need to take a more serious look at itself. We need to come up with a better way to perform advise and consent on appointments sent us by the President. With all that in mind, Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell created a new task force to review the confirmation process, a step in the right direction. Even you were appointed to it, Ted, along with every committee chairman in the Senate. Problem is, you'd partisan Democrats failed to put a single Republican on this important task force. Ted, the process needs reform, but it won't get to first base if your solution is to slam the door right in our mush. That arrogance is what created this mess. What were you thinking?
Cut it out, Al. Create your own task force. Republicans aren't shrinking violets. You've got plenty of right-wing megaphones to make your voices heard. President Bush has already made his own suggestions for reform. You're free to do the same. Most nominees go through the Senate confirmation process with no controversy. Supreme Court nominees are different. They get real scrutiny because of their importance. They are lifetime appointees. True, controversies have been more intense in recent years, largely because of the Reagan and Bush administration's ideological bias. They're trying to tilt the balance of the court, stack it with right-wing judges. George Bush's court-packing plan is just as alarming as Franklin Roosevelt's court-packing plan in the 1930s. Perhaps we can find ways to make the process less contentious. But as Oliver Wendell Holmes said, the Supreme Court is a quiet place, the quiet at the center of the storm. It's likely to stay that way, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on assault weapons. Why aren't they banned? Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. When will Congress finally summon the courage to ban assault weapons? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Congress hasn't covered itself with glory in recent weeks. The papers have been full of embarrassing reports about bouncing checks and about the botched hearings with Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill on sexual harassment. But the most shocking abdication of responsibility may well be the continuing capitulation by Congress to the power of the gun lobby. It happened again the other day when Congress refused to take even the small step of banning sales of assault weapons. The crucial vote came in the wake of the assault weapon massacre at the lunch counter in Texas. 22 people killed in a hail of bullets by a madman who methodically kept reloading his assault weapon with new ammunition clips and then spraying more bullets. What sort of country is it, Al, where weapons like that and ammunition like that can be bought over the counter, no questions asked?
Hold for a minute, Ted. This is always heavy stuff. I am all for background checks to be made by computers at the point of purchase. That would go a long way to weed out some of the crazies. Ted, the massacre in Texas was an appalling tragedy, something that should never have happened. But that mad killer did not use an assault weapon. He used an ordinary 9mm pistol to do his deadly work. It proves again that insane criminals will use whatever firearms they can get their hands on to act out their hatred and hostility. Ted, do you really still naively believe that outlawing guns will keep criminals and madmen from getting a weapon? We already have strict laws against automatic weapons. What we need is for those laws to be enforced with tough jail sentences and the death penalty. That would send a much tougher message to crooks than simply making the black market in guns more powerful. You never learn. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the federal government cleaning up the toxic wastes it produces. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The federal government should obviously clean up any hazardous waste which it has created, but we must also have a safe place to store it. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the feds will spend over $7 billion this year to clean up environmental hazards of their own making. I agree. That's 98% more than we spent 2 years ago. We're making some real progress there. Yes, Ted, the federal government should clean up after itself, meeting the same standards we impose on private industry. But Congress should also knock off the catch-22 it imposes on all toxic cleanup. Congress wants to impose tough, strict guidelines and deadlines and fines for not cleaning up a toxic site, yet at the same time it won't build enough safe storage facilities. Ted, let's stop putting the cart before the horse or the jockeys. It makes no sense at all to prattle about cleaning up the mess if you don't have some place to put the stuff. Wise up. Try to be realistic.
Al, your cart's in the ditch. Your anti-environment bias is showing again. It was on display in Congress the other day, and it was a pretty lonely display. The Senate voted 85-14 against you. We shut off your filibuster and passed a long-overdue measure requiring all federal government installations to clean up their hazardous waste. Sure, we need more places to store toxic and radioactive waste, but that's no excuse to exempt federal installations from the cleanup laws. The Department of Defense and Department of Energy are massive polluters. For years, they've been hiding behind their federal sovereign immunity, thumbing their nose at the environment. The Pentagon has 11,000 toxic waste sites on military bases across the country. The Department of Energy has nearly 4,000. It's time those agencies obeyed the same rules that everyone else does. You have trouble saying no to polluters, Al, but did you have to filibuster to protect them? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on school choice. Should it go to private schools, too? Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration has taken the worthwhile new idea of school choice and run it into the ground. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, what gives with the White House education reform and their extremist approach to the idea of school choice? Instead of running with a good idea, they're running it into the ground. In recent years, states have already begun to experiment with school choice, letting parents choose which public school in their district their children will attend. That way, different schools can specialize in subjects and activities that appeal to particular children. If parents can choose among various schools, they'll pick the ones that do the best job. Schools that don't do as well will have an incentive to shape up or shut down. So far, so good. But the Bush administration would let parents choose private schools, too, and use tax dollars to pay for it. That's a mistake, Al. Public funds should go to public schools, not private education.
Ted, how is it then fair that parents who send their kids to private school should also have to pay for public school? Those parents end up paying for schools they never use. Ted, your own fine governor of Massachusetts, William Weld, came out the other day and endorsed the Bush administration's dramatic plan to overhaul education, America 2000. Don't you listen to your own governor, Ted? Bush wants opportunity and fairness for America's kids. The president also feels that healthy competition and choice of schools will inspire teachers to do their best. Nothing wrong with that. Ted, one thing is for sure, our system sure doesn't work now. Don't cling to those old ideas, especially when they have failed. Maybe the reason why many kids are totally failing to learn is because they just don't have a choice. Give them one. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. All the nations should come together to develop international standards for nuclear power plants. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, most countries' leaders sit down and agree to strict standards over the food and merchandise they trade. So why in the world can't they sit down and agree to share high-quality standards for building nuclear power plants? During all of the years that the Iron Curtain severed Europe, cutting it in half, nations lived in the fear that the shabbily designed plants might cause a meltdown. Now the Cold War is over, and we have a very real opportunity to set some tough international safety standards on nuclear power plants. These standards could keep another Chernobyl from ever happening. So don't just sit there and melt down yourself, Ted. Lend us a hand to push for an international agency to make all nuclear power plants as safe as they can possibly be.
Right on, Al. One Chernobyl is one too many. Older Soviet and Eastern European nuclear plants are meltdowns waiting to happen. The most dangerous reactors are those without containment structures to block release of radiation if accidents occur. We can't delay identifying them and doing what it takes to make them safe or shut them down. Action is already underway. An international conference in Vienna last month proposed a 10-point safety plan and identified problem reactors in other countries, including Cuba. Western European nations are already helping. They're providing emergency assistance for reactors in Czechoslovakia and Bulgaria and developing a safety program for the Soviet Union. Germany has shut down four dangerous reactors built by the Russians years ago in East Germany. Strict international standards and safeguards are essential, Al, and we need treaties to enforce them. No nation can afford to dither while its neighbors play Russian roulette with old and dangerous Russian-built reactors. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Election Day 1991. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. BOTUS sent some pointed messages to Washington last week. Does Senator Al Simpson get the point on any of them? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, BOTUS sent some unmistakable messages to Washington last week. The economy's in the ditch. The country's on the wrong track. Health care is a mess, and government's to blame. Pennsylvania voters sent an especially pointed message, Al. National health insurance is on the move. It's caught on big with the middle class. People are fed up with soaring costs of medical care and worsening gaps in insurance coverage. National health insurance is an idea whose time has finally come. You Republicans can't stonewall it anymore. The message on the economy is just as urgent, Al. Do something. Don't just stand there while the economy collapses around you. Pay attention to the home front. Stop the recession. Start making this country work again. Democrats understand these messages, Al. Is anyone listening in the Republican Party? Is anyone home in the White House?
Ted, I do agree that Democrats understand the message sent by the voters last week. No wonder you sound so worried and so critical. It's draining trying to pass the buck. Ted, you've been in the Senate for 3 decades. Except for a 6-year period in the Senate, you Democrats have controlled Congress in both houses for 50 years. You are government. You should remember that when you have one finger wickedly pointed at the president, you got 4 fingers pointed back at yourself. You can gloat about Pennsylvania all you want, Ted, but don't miss the real gains made by Republicans last week. For the first time in 20 years, Republicans gained veto-proof control of the New Jersey legislature. The number of Republicans in Virginia's legislature doubled. And in Mississippi, for the first time since 1874, the people elected a Republican governor. Ted, the people do have a message for you. It's time to pack your bags. They'll get you in 92. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the Senate scrubbing the debate on the energy policy bill. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. While OPEC works to develop a clear energy strategy for themselves, Congress refuses to even debate an energy policy for our nation. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, America now imports more than 50% of its crude oil from foreign sources. That's a record high, more than at any time during the painful oil embargoes of the 70s. For an intelligent nation which literally runs on gas and oil, the alarm bell should be sounding. At the very least, Congress should step up and debate a long-term energy policy and strategy. Instead, 2 weeks ago, you blithely voted against a motion to proceed to any debate on energy policy. Ted, I have no doubt at all that you oppose legislation to make America energy independent. But why be so afraid not to even allow a debate on the subject? Ted, we sure won't solve any of our problems if we don't first honestly talk about them.
Al, the Senate pulled the plug for good reason on that unwise energy measure. It was a bonanza for major oil companies and a massive problem for the environment. The Senate did the right thing by saying no to big oil, the nuclear power industry, and their one-sided schemes for massive new oil drilling and nuclear energy. It was a dream bill for lobbyists, Al, but a nightmare for sensible energy policy. They wanted to open up the Arctic Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling, encourage offshore drilling, and allow nuclear power plants to ignore local health and safety requirements. You gave a blank check to the oil and nuclear power lobby, Al. You forgot important alternatives like Canadian natural gas and solar and hydropower. You ignored the vast amounts of oil America can save through efficient energy standards for industry and building automobiles with better gas mileage. Next time, Big Al, say no to big oil. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the latest dirty trick in campaign financing. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. 1992 election dirty tricks are underway. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, no sooner are the presidential candidates off and running for 1992 than the Bush administration pulls a devious maneuver. Current law, enacted after the Watergate scandal, provides matching public funds for presidential candidates to reduce their reliance on fat cat private contributors and political action committees. The public funds are provided when taxpayers check a box on their tax returns and designate a dollar for the fund. Right now, the kitty is low. It won't reach full strength until after April 15th. Since it's easier for President Bush to qualify, he can walk off with the limited funds currently available before Democrats qualify. That's unfair. Yet President Bush says he'll veto any bill to give Democratic candidates their fair share. Tell the White House to stop the dirty tricks, Al. Those are taxpayer funds. They're meant for both parties.
Ted, obeying a law which you voted for and helped to pass is not a dirty trick. Sure, the kitty is low for matching funds, but that's only because fewer and fewer people are checking yes on their tax return to give the feds a buck donation. That ought to tell you something right there, Ted. The American people are fed up with the inaction and stalling of the Democrat Congress. All of this year, the president has waited for a crime bill, a bank reform bill, a new highway bill. Should I go on? Now the year is almost gone, and a Democrat Congress has to really scramble to finish its work. Ted, the only dirty trick I see is the one always played on the taxpayers. They actually expect Congress to jumpstart the economy, create new jobs, and reduce spending. The national debt is over $4 trillion. No wonder taxpayers won't check the box. They don't like always getting stuck with the tab for Democrats who pick their pocket. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the Democrats in Congress taking their own sweet time to solve urgent problems. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Senator Al Simpson. While the nation waits impatiently, the Dems in Congress take their own sweet time to solve urgent social problems. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, you Democrats just love to pass the buck. Too bad you don't love to pass legislation, too. During his State of the Union speech last winter, the president asked Congress to send him a crime bill in 100 days. That was a fair request. He had just won a war against Iraq in 100 hours. Well, Ted, more than 200 days have passed, and Congress still has not approved a crime bill. On top of that, we haven't sent the president a highway bill, an education bill, or even a bank reform bill. Ted, you richly enjoy bashing the president, saying he doesn't care a thing about domestic problems. But the truth is that the Democrat-controlled Congress is the culprit who really doesn't care. You have the horses to pass anything.
You must be joking, Al. Harry Truman ran against a do-nothing Republican Congress in 1948. But in 1992, the shoe was on the other foot. A Democratic Congress will be running against a do-nothing Republican administration. The initiatives you mentioned on crime, education, banks, and highways are a pale imitation of real domestic policy, Al, and many of them are wrong. You pay lip service to real problems without resources to follow through. You can't fight crime on the cheap. You'd rather spend billions on Star Wars for the Pentagon instead of investing in star schools here at home. Even those flaws pale in comparison to your bungling of the economy, tax cuts for the rich, and vetoed benefits for unemployed workers and their families are no answer to the long and deep recession. A president must be more than a secretary of state. Foreign policy is important now, but it's no excuse for neglecting the home front. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Can President Bush be serious about running against Congress in 1992? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, in recent campaign appearances, President Bush has been flight-testing election year strategies for 1992. But so far, he's barking up the wrong tree. He's searching for an analogy to 1948 when President Harry Truman ran effectively against a do-nothing Congress. But President Bush can't make that charge stick in 1992. The do-nothing label is a much tighter fit for the administration than it is for Congress. A better 1992 analogy is 1960, when the winner that year was the candidate who convinced the nation he could do a better job of getting the country moving again. The best 1992 analogy of all may be 1932, when an incumbent president named Herbert Hoover lost in a landslide because he was incapable of acting to solve the economic crisis of the time. Is history repeating itself, Al?
Ted, I don't know if history always repeats itself, but you sure do. If you want to convince Americans that Congress doesn't deserve the heat it's been getting, why not just tick off a list of this year's big accomplishments? What's the matter, Ted? Nothing much there to brag about. When the president gave his State of the Union address last winter, he asked Congress to pass a crime bill in 100 days. Almost a year has gone by, and a Democrat Congress hasn't done it yet. On top of that one, Congress hasn't passed a bank reform bill, an education bill, or even the crucial highway bill. Ted, I think the president has every right to throw the spotlight right where it needs to shine. The Democrats have controlled the U.S. House since 1952, and I sure hope the voters think about that one next year. That's one tradition they'd love to see broken. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on crucial tax credits that will expire in January if Congress fails to act. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Some in the Congress say they support a tax cut, and then they fight hard against crucial tax breaks set to expire in January. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, last week the chairman of the House Ways and Means called for a major tax cut for the middle class. Yet a few days later, he turned right around to say Congress would not pass this year's extension of the dozen crucial tax breaks set to expire on January 1st. Ted, these tax breaks are for vital things like low-income housing and research and development credits for struggling high-tech firms. The Democrat let-them-eat-cake attitude will only hurt the homeless. Ted, one minute you exhort and orate about the economy, and the next you're making it worse. We need to extend those crucial tax credits before Congress leaves town for the holidays. Are you going to help, Ted?
Al, it doesn't make it any easier to swallow. But Congress has a long and notorious history of riding to the rescue of those tax breaks at the last moment, just as they're expiring. Sometimes there's a miscalculation and the provisions actually run out. But Congress usually makes amends and extends them retroactively so that most of the damage is repaired. It's no way to run a railroad or the Internal Revenue Code. Businesses and taxpayers need to plan ahead. They can't do it if Congress is jerking around the tax laws with these on-again, off-again extensions. The heart of the problem is that these provisions, and there are only 12 of them, are second-class citizens. Almost all of the tax code is permanent law. These 12 provisions are not. For various budget and policy reasons, they're on a short leash, extended year by year. I'm with you, Al. There has to be a better way. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the administration's economic policy. Is there one? Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.